Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah 6 verse 8. Welcome to the Driven by Purpose podcast, where Jesus is our center. We discuss all things related to self-love, a healthy relationship with Christ, breaking generational ties, traits of a godly woman / man, and so much more. Join me for this podcast and you will leave convicted and, most importantly, forever changed. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back. Welcome to the Driven by Purpose podcast with your favorite baby girl, Tina. Okay. Oh my gosh. Y'all, whenever I make a podcast episode, I always get so excited. Like, this is really like one of my purposes. Like, so I always get super duper excited. Like, when I say that I'm pumped to make an episode, I actually mean that. I'm not just saying it to like make y'all feel good, but I really always get pumped. So my first question is, did y'all miss me? Hopefully y'all did. Your girl's back by God's grace, hopefully more and more consistent. Y'all know, keep me in prayer for consistency. Your girl's trying. But anyways, let's get straight into today's episode. Okay, y'all saw the title. Are y'all ready? Are y'all excited? Are y'all pumped too? Okay, the title is Struggling with Idolizing Marriage? Me too, sis! Exclamation. No, let me stop. Let me stop being annoying. But y'all, oh my goodness, this was one. All right, I always try and give y'all a little bit context of like how I come to make episodes. So first of all, the Singleness with Purpose episode, I talked about this a little bit on my last episode, but that Singleness with Purpose episode is like one of my most played episodes right now. So God bless y'all for listening, for sending to your besties, for the reviews, more y'all posting reviews as y'all should, period. For those of y'all who haven't posted reviews, because a lot of y'all tuning in, so we're all the reviews. Now let me stop. But definitely post. If this podcast is blessing you, post a review. But thank God and God bless you all who have been posting reviews, still DMing me, all of those things, posting on your stories. It is well appreciated. But that Singleness with Purpose episode, y'all is running it up, period, as y'all should. Amen and amen. So I told y'all before I wanted to make like a part two to it. Now, this is kind of an impromptu part two to that episode, because I'm kind of going to be like expounding in a deeper way on the points that I already mentioned, with a few other like life lessons that God has kind of been showing me, especially in this season of my life. So definitely kind of want to make this a part two, but I'm not going to really say it's a part two, but it kind of is. So yes, y'all, here we are. We're doing it. We're making the part two. And also there will be another episode that will be released, possibly more about singleness, because especially since y'all running that episode up, it's really showing me that singleness is something important for us to discuss in the Christian community, and I really do want to talk more on it. So yes, period. Okay, so let's get right into it. Now, the Lord placed this topic on me honestly like 2 or 3 months ago. I can't even lie. Okay, God, he just be telling me like, all right, you gotta make this soon, and I'd be scared to like really follow through, or not scared, but I just be like, oh my goodness, like I don't want to be that vulnerable, I don't want to be talking this much. But the Lord, especially for this episode this morning, the Lord was like, you're gonna have to be super duper transparent, you're gonna have to be super duper real and vulnerable. So that's exactly what I'm here to do. No cutesy, all real, even though I really try not to be like super duper cutesy, but today is going to be like less of cutesy but more real. Okay, even more than I already give y'all. Y'all know I already give y'all the real, the tea, the everything. All right, so let's get right into it. So if you all remember from my Singleness with Purpose episode, I kind of talked about like sometimes the dreams and the wants that we have as young women. And also, this is not a woman-specific issue or desire, but this also does happen with men. But being that I'm a woman, I'm a girl, I'm gonna kind of explain further. So as I said it before, from young, y'all know, every little girl, her dream or something that you want or something that you see on TV, even when we play with our little dolls and all those different things. Or y'all, I don't know if y'all had a baby alive when you guys were young or y'all was playing house, but for me as a kid, I was definitely playing house. Somebody I was pretending that they was my husband, that we had kids and all these different things. the dream houses and all those different things. We all dream about having those white picket fences from very, very young. Those ideas, those wants, and those desires are planted in us at a very, very young age, right? And we kind of think about it often. And even though, and I'm going to kind of get to this, even though we don't say that we think about it often, we all in some way, shape, or form might have some type of timeline placed in us, whether it's in the back of our head or at the forefront. We all, some at some point in our lives, have had a timeline. And for many women, I'm going to kind of lay it out. For many women, some of us, our dreams are to finish high school, finish college, and then smack, bam, boom, we want to get married, and we want to later have kids, right? Yeah, I remember that song. I forgot how it goes, like where it goes. First comes marriage, and then comes so-and-so with the baby carriage and stuff like that. Like, you know, first comes love. Then comes marriage. I don't remember how it goes, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, we have these songs, we have these ideas, we have these movies that are kind of shown to us at a very young age. And then from there, we kind of develop our own timeline of how we deem or how we believe our life should go. And with that timeline, we sometimes think that certain accomplishments will complete us. And one of those big accomplishments, especially in the life of a woman, is marriage. We believe that marriage will be one of those things that will complete us and make us whole. Even though, and what's so frustrating that I did want to explain in this episode, is even though we don't say it, we unconsciously believe it. And a lot of us, we are so cute. We're like, oh, I don't care about marriage. Oh, I don't care about. But come on, let's be all the way, like, be for real. Actually be for real. Like let's be honest. Okay, I never used to say it, but I'm gonna be real. I was one of those girls. I was definitely thinking about it. And the thing is if anyone says I'm lying, you are in fact a liar. Because come on, let's be real. We have those timelines, even for guys. I don't know specifically how it goes, but some of the guys that I know, you know, this is kind of how they plan out their lives too. They want to finish high school. They want to do their own thing in college. Maybe play around, date different girls. And then finally, at one point in their lives, the one that they really see as wifey material, they eventually want to settle down when they get their life together. And when they're done, like, joking around and playing around, they eventually want to get their life together, settle down with the woman, marry, and then buy a home and then have kids. That's really some of the timelines, that's really the timeline that many of us have and envision. And there's nothing wrong with us actually verbalizing that this is actually what we want. But as a kid, and even sometimes as a teen, as a young adult, youth, whatever we want to call it, we kind of see marriage from a fixed lens. And that lens is more of like a fairy tale type of lens, you know, because as being a young kid, we're not really going to factor in big parts or like the true parts of marriage, right? As a kid who's dreaming about marriage, we don't think about the fact that when you're married, you have to be better in terms of sacrifice. You have to add compromise. You have to be big on servitude. You have to be big on forgiveness. We don't factor in those things because it's easier to just see marriage as, oh, you know, we're going to get lit, or, oh, we're going to go out to all these different places, or, oh, kisses and hugs and making waffles and pancakes in the morning and giving kisses goodbye, you know, because y'all, listen, I don't know if y'all remember. But in some of those TV shows, when the wife is like making breakfast and she making her little eggs and her little bacon, and she put it on the table for her man, and then her man gonna come in and he gonna eat like two little bites of bacon, and maybe he gonna touch the little waffles and he gonna eat some of it, and then he'll be like, oh babe, I gotta run off to work, and then we in our little robes. I don't know if y'all remember like TV shows and movies like that, but y'all, that's really how they painted marriage. And I'm like, dang, like, I can't wait to do that, right? But like I said, as a kid, as a young adult, youth, whatever you want to call it, we don't factor in like what marriage really is about. And also TV doesn't really show us what marriage really is about. It just shows us like the highs, but doesn't really highlight many of the lows. So when we hear these big words like sacrifice, compromise, servitude, forgiveness, endurance, all these things, we're shocked. We're bewildered because we're like, that's not what we really thought we were signing up for. Right. And another thing that I did want to mention also is that we don't say it, but we all hope, especially as Christians, especially my Christian girls, Be honest, be real. I'm about to say something, and it's not really going to be a mic drop, but it's going to be like a real reality. Many of us, I don't want to say all of us, because some of us probably don't think like this, but many of us, if not all of us, hope that God chooses us for marriage. Okay, like let's not be fake. Let's not be fake. Nobody, especially my young girls, we don't really want God to choose us for the gift of singleness. We don't want that. We could call Jesus our boyfriend all we want. We can really do that all we want, but in the back of our head, because I've spoken to many Christian young women, and we be like, all right, season of singleness this, season of singleness that, focusing on Jesus this, dates with Jesus that. But many of us, at the end of the day, we are all subconsciously hoping that God will reward us in the end with a great husband and with marriage. We all hope that our hard work and our sacrifice and doing all these different things will prove to God in some way, shape, or form that we are mature and that we are ready for marriage. Now, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you want to accept it or admit it or not, many of us are like that. I'm not trying to say everybody's like that, but I have spoken to a lot of Christian women, and a lot of us believe like this, believe these things unconsciously, and we do these things unconsciously. Like, and even in my walk with God, especially before, I found myself doing certain things to show God, like, all right, God, I'm getting up and I'm reading my word, and I'm doing morning devotional at 5 a.m. to show you that I'm ready to be a wife one day. Or, okay, God, I'm showing up to Bible study. Okay, God, I'm writing in my journal. Okay, God, I'm going to therapy. Okay, God, I'm doing these different things. Okay, God, I'm healing so that I could be ready to be a wife one day. And it's not to say that these things should not be done so that it can help prepare us, because we should be doing these things anyways. But sometimes our heart posture is just so, okay, let me show God I'm doing all these different things so that I can get the prize, right? So that he can finally give me what I want. Not I'm doing these things so I could get closer to Jesus sometimes. Oh, I'm getting someone. Not I'm doing these things so I could get closer to Jesus sometimes, or so that I can become more mature, so that I can be who God simply wants me to be. Marriage aside, motherhood aside, and I feel like God has been showing me a lot more about the importance of being a daughter. And I'm gonna make another episode about being a daughter more very, very soon. I keep telling y'all about the episode I'm gonna create. I promise y'all, they're gonna come out, but they also do require planning. Also, another part about me, before I create these episodes, sometimes I have to go through certain life lessons so that God can show me and so that I can share these things with y'all. So it's not always sometimes that I want to delay, but it's also some things that I'm literally going through and learning myself so that I can share with you all the revelations. And I feel like one thing that God is showing me is that I'm not just a future wife. I'm not just a future mother. I'm not just a future, I don't know, CEO or future director of an organization or whatever, whatever. I'm not just all these other titles or Minister Tina, what, I'm not just all those things. But first and foremost, I'm a daughter and a servant of God. And that should really make me go crazy and wild, the fact that God chose me first. But I can be honest and I can be real and I can be transparent. Being a daughter of God, especially in the past, has not always excited me as much as it should have. And that's real for many of us. For some of us, we don't, or we're not really so excited to be like, oh, I'm a daughter of God. But the motherhood title, the wife title, the CEO title, the prophetess, the minister, the exhorter, the evangelist, the pastor, these titles excite us and rile us up more than being a daughter or a son of God. And that really is a showstopper. And it's not to say that these things aren't good, because these things are good because they expand the kingdom of God. I'm going to get deeper into that, but I just really wanted to stop us on that note, truly. Because, and to kind of go back to what I was talking about earlier, a lot of us sometimes, though we may know that right now may not be the time for some of us to be in a relationship or whatever, subconsciously we're like, okay, God, in a year you better show up. Okay, God, in a year you better hook it up, or else. Even though we don't say or else, subconsciously it be on some or else with God. Like, and in this podcast, like I said, I truly aim to be real and to be honest, because there have been some things in my life where I'm like, holding it over God's head, like, okay, God, if you don't do this, okay, God, if you don't show up here, you know? And it's like really, it really requires true maturity, pruning, and time with God to really like get rid of certain mindsets. Because if we're not being real and open and honest, those things are actually lying dormant within us, truly. And like I said, everyone, once again, this is not a woman specific topic, but once again, I am a woman, so I'm just trying to speak from that perspective. Because really, many of us, if not all of us as women, we want to get married before 30. We want to have kids before 30, like, or for some women, before 35, kids, husband, all those different things. These are things that we want to do because in the back of our heads, that biological clock is ticking. And we have to really talk about it. Sometimes we kind of want to try and ignore it and just not talk about it and pretend like it's not there. But for some people who their expectations are not met, when it is not met, it can foster or it can just really create a lot of resentment towards God because we never actually addressed the fact that we did have these desires. We did have these timelines. We did have our biological clock on our mind. So because that desire was not met, because that biological clock was there, that resentment did start to come about. So we have to have these really uncomfortable conversations because as women specifically, and even as men, but once again, I'm a woman, we have needs. We want that attention. Listen, I want them date nights. I want that affection. I want the flowers. Y'all, I love flowers. I really do. My man, period. Listen, my future husband, he is going to be getting them flowers on a weekly basis because I love flowers, okay? Should we even want the intimacy? Like, let's be all the way real, okay? Once again, we have needs. We are people. We are human, okay? And I always told God, for me personally, I always told God, I said, whenever I get married and I make more content on singleness, and I feel like, especially with that singleness episode blowing up and like people listening to it and hitting me up about it and stuff like that, I know that there is a need for me personally to talk about singleness and one day marriage and stuff like that. And for me, I always told God, I said, Lord, I pray to never be that girl who puts down the desires of women and even men, because it's not bad. It really is not bad. It's not bad to, let's just keep it real. It's not bad to get horny. It's not bad. It just shows that your body is working, but it is bad when we stay and when we ruminate on the thoughts that we have and on the desires that we have instead of leaning on the grace of God to help us get out of that. Because we will have those feelings. We will have those emotions. We will have those desires, and they're real. We, even aside from like horniness and stuff like that, we will have those desires for companionship, and it is not bad because God has called us to be around people. He has called us to have community, so it's not bad. And for many of us who have those desires for marriage, God put those desires in us. We're meant to have those desires. And before, for me, I used to be like, God, just take those desires away so I could fully focus on you. But I feel like, and I'm going to talk about this later on, what's really important, I feel like what God is teaching me is that the desires that we have are like the main point that, and the main lesson that we need to learn in it is that we need to learn how to manage those desires, but they can only be managed with the help of God, period. And another thing too, self-love is not always a substitute for companionship, whether it is platonic or romantic. Sometimes we try and like platter or or throw self-love everywhere and put a badge of self-love on and you'll be over it. You won't want any friends. You won't want any relationships, stuff like that. A lot of people have self-love, have a lot of confidence and stuff like that, but they're still lonely. And the thing also that I'm learning is we should not replace romantic or platonic relationships, whatever, in the place of God. We shouldn't replace God with those things. We should never do that because that can still create loneliness too. So there has to be, in many ways, a balance. We're going to also get into that at a later time. But facts, like for me personally, I'm tired of the girlies who be trying to put down women and even men sometimes for desiring companionship because it's not fair. We are going to desire those things. Some of the girlies are focusing on themselves. Some of the girlies are even focusing on Jesus. Some of the girlies are even focusing on school. I beg, like Black women, especially, I'm a Black woman, I know, like many of us, we're getting PhDs, we're getting, going to medical school, going to, even after medical school, we're still getting MBA.
The girlies are focusing on school. They're focusing on work. They're focusing on their purpose. But once in a blue moon, you will get these desires. That's also what I'm learning too. You will, even when you are focusing on yourself, maybe one day will be one day where that desire will just come and hit you. But that's a time where we have to just run to Jesus. Like, Lord, fill this desire. Lord, maybe as I'm having like a desire for like sexual companionship, Lord, fill this desire, God. I don't want to do it outside of your will because, Lord, these things are designed for marriage. Granted, my body is working great, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. My body is working great. But, Lord, help me to manage this desire. And the way that I can manage this desire is if, Lord, you fill me up in this moment, Lord. Even sometimes if I'm feeling, if my body is moving, I'm brooding, I'm shaking, and stuff like that. Sometimes I either blast in tongues, I start worshiping, doing all these different things because I have to call on the, on not only the grace of God, but I have to call on God's presence to come and fill me within that moment, truthfully. But we're gonna keep going on. We're gonna keep going on. But this is my first official point. Can y'all believe I haven't even really gotten into the points for real, for real? But my first official point, there won't be too many points for today, because by God's grace, there will be another episode that will come out about a similar topic. But the first point that I have for today, Mercy, I was talking all this time without a point. But my first official point will be your desire for Jesus should always surpass your desire for marriage. I can distinctly remember as I was preparing for this episode, the Holy Spirit dropped on me a flashback, a memory that I had literally from years ago. I haven't thought about this in years, but the Holy Spirit dropped it on me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So my uncle, shout out to my uncle. My uncle be listening to this podcast, period. Uncle Knifey, Uncle Nifa. Let me stop. Okay, his real name is Uncle Nifa. Okay. Anyway, shout out to him, period. He used to run all my Sunday school. He really helped me to get to know Jesus more. Even though when I was younger, I wasn't really paying attention, I wasn't really listening. The things that he said, it really touches my heart and it literally blesses me now. And I thank God for his life because he really, as I said it before, helped me to know and grow deeper in the things of God. And he truly is an inspiration with how he searches for the Lord and he seeks God. So God bless him truly. But anyways, I remember I think it was a Sunday school. He had asked a random question. I don't. It was definitely it had to do with the topic that we were talking about, but we just weren't expecting it. So my uncle, he had asked us. He said, this was years ago. I was probably like 14 years old. He asked us. He said, "Will we be ready if Jesus was to come right now?" And granted, it's not a random question, but where we went with it was actually random. So let me explain. He asked us this question, and I remember clear as day, clear as day. Me and my cousin. We laughed. We laughed because we said, no, Jesus should wait until we get married. Literally. I kid y'all not. That's exactly how we answered. We said, Jesus should wait until we get married, maybe have one or two kids. Then he should come. That's fine. Imagine we said, big Jesus, the only Jesus, the only God, we said he should wait till we get married. I have kids, right? And I want to add this. Sometimes we will say, oh, I don't have idols. Oh, I don't have idols. Oh, I don't have idols. And I remember Prophetess Tiffany Montgomery, she said that just because you haven't melted gold and made it a statue, that does not mean it is not an idol. And I'm going to say it again. Just because you did not come down and melt gold and make it into a statue and make it into a golden calf, it does not mean it's not an idol. Sometimes we get so scared to say the word idol. And granted, idolizing something is very, very bad. It's very bad. But isn't it better to admit that it's an idol than to walk in a lie, basically? Walk in a lie and say we don't have an idol just to save face. Because in the Bible, when we hear about idols, what do we see? Like people are literally melting gold. They're creating a gold calf. They're worshiping something physically. So they're creating something in the physical and they're getting on their knees, they're worshiping it and praising it as a god. So that's what we deem only as an idol. That's what we say, okay, that's when we even sometimes could feel self-righteous, like, yeah, I could never idolize anything. I could never idolize anything. I'm not doing what they did in the Bible. And I remember, this isn't fully related, but I'm gonna say I remember, I think it was something I saw on Instagram. They said, be very, very careful When you try and put down people in the Bible who have made certain mistakes, like, because you know, sometimes the common joke that we say is, all right, if we see Eve in heaven, it's up, we finna, you know, go off on her, right? Because she caused us to have periods and all these different things. And even some of us, when we see the children of is the Israelites, or if we see different people in the Bible, maybe we see Jonah who ran away, or maybe we see different prophets and stuff like that. Maybe we see Saul, maybe we see David. We might try and make fun of them or make jest of them, like, oh, we could never do something like that. But truthfully, in some ways, that kind of shows pride, because the minute I remember Prophetess Tiffany said, she said, if you're so quick to say you're not prideful, then go and pray about pride, because you just might be prideful in some ways. And I can be honest, like I said, before, when I was maybe in my teens, I would never dare say, like, oh, I could, I would never use the word idol to describe anything that I was doing. But clearly now, years later, I can say I idolize certain things. And Prophetess Tiffany also says this too. She says, anything, and I even b agree with this, anything can become an idol if it suppresses or quenches our thirst for God. It's true. Money can be idol, friends can be idol, school can even be an idol. Sometimes we can even idolize the things of God, and granted, it might sound like crazy, like, how can I idolize the things of God? Sometimes we can think that all the things that we're doing for God is so important, opposed to having a right heart posture for God. We can think, okay, like, I lead Sunday school, I know everything in the Bible, I'm the smartest person, I'm the smartest prophet, nobody can, you know, we can get so caught up in the things of God sometimes that we can be so far away from God. Even it talks about, I forgot it, where it was. I believe it's in Isaiah, where it kind of talks about lip service and how some people, they talk so highly of God, they talk so many things about God, but even God declared it that their hearts are far away from Him. So that can really happen, because truly, if anything has the power to trick you into thinking that you're complete, it can possibly be an idol. Now, at 14, if somebody asked me if marriage was an idol, I would most likely say no, right? But what did my actions display? The fact that I could boldly say at that time that Jesus should wait until I have children, until I get married before He should come. What does that show? That that is an idol. It is an idol. I could never say that before, but it clearly was an idol. Why? Because I'm so tied to worldly things that I don't even want to go with my Savior. I want to break this down because probably some people are confused, but let me break it down. It's an idol because I wouldn't want to go for eternity with my Savior. I wouldn't want to have complete oneness and complete fellowship with Him forever. I wouldn't want that now. I would want to wait to stay in the world, to have this beautiful marriage or whatever. That's great. But I want that more than I want to be one with God in eternity. Something is off. Something was clearly off. Truly. And I even had to get in a, I had to get to a point in my life, and even in my walk with God, even recently, where I had to wake up almost every other day and be like, Lord, I surrender my desire to marriage, for marriage to you. And it sounds OD, but even on days where we think, oh, I'm good, I'm not idolizing it, we still got to cover each basis. And I want to kind of get into this real quick. Fantasies. There was one woman of God, she brought it up on TikTok. She's like, some of y'all probably, the only way you can go to bed is if you fantasize something really sweet, whether it's fantasize having sex with a man or a woman, or fantasize being married and stuff like that. You cannot go to bed without having those fantasies or those scenarios playing over in your head. And it doesn't always have to be so sexual, but sometimes that is an idol itself. Like, if you can't go to bed without thinking all of these things, you have to try and detach so much from the physical world and think about something that isn't even about God, you know? And what I'm even learning is that we are meant to have our gaze and our mind fixed on heavenly things. Colossians 3 verse 1-2, it says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your signs on, or set your mind, mercy, on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the world, you will share in his glory. And this part where it says, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. I remember there have been a few times where I'm like, Lord, oh my goodness, my life is literally consumed with you. Everything I do, every decision I make, everything I think, the music I listen to, everything I do, it's consumed with you. And I remember telling the Lord, I'm like, oh my goodness, God, it's too much. Like, and that within itself can be like an ungodly spirit. And I'm not even going to get into that today. I'm not even going to get into that because another thing that I realized, and I'm going to say this really quickly, our lives should be consumed with God because the reason why we were created was to worship God. But I'll get into that possibly in another episode. Because one thing I did learn from my church, the best church in the world, Kingdom Full Tabernacle, is that sometimes some ungodly spirits are possibly manifesting in us and trying to tell us that our world and our life shouldn't be consumed with God. But once again, that's for another episode. Anyways, some of y'all are probably listening and probably thinking and probably asking yourselves, dang, Tina, I can't have nothing. I can't dream about anything. I can't have hopes and dreams. I can't have this. I can't have that. And I'm here to answer that question. I will say this. You most definitely can have hopes. You can have dreams. You can desire things. That is a good thing. You're not meant to be aimless as a Christian. As a Christian, you are meant to have desires. So it's not a bad thing to have desires, but it all falls down to who sits on the throne room of your heart. I feel like I possibly say that on every single episode, but it is something that is so important. Who sits on the throne room of your heart? What is the most important thing to you? What is the thing that dominates your thoughts and your mind daily? You know, is it Christ or is it solely your desires? And is it solely like you're only thinking about yourself, you know? And I remember when I got locked in with God back in college, I listened to a Christian woman and she asked a question. It was actually a podcast that I was listening to. It was about singleness. And she was like, if God decided that you would not get married in your life, would you still choose him? Would you still serve him? And she confessed that she had to ask herself that question years ago. And her answer was no, that she would not still serve God. She would not still choose him. And it might sound OD, but she was just being honest. And the fact that I'm still able to remember that podcast episode, I remember it not only because it rings true, but I remember it because she really was real. And sometimes we might lack that. We might want to live in fairy tale land and try and pretend like we're perfect and we don't subconsciously have these desires or these timelines. Well, we have to be real. We got to be honest. Now to get into point two, which is more of a question, which I've had to even ask myself. And that question is, do you actually view marriage the way that God views it? And I'm gonna be real. If I'm gonna be fully real, transparent, and honest, years ago, and even still now, I'm learning to view marriage the way that God does. Because before, I definitely did not. Just being real, years ago, nobody could tell me about that submission stuff. Years ago, who's going to tell me to submit? Mm-mm. Years ago, I was like, nope, submission sounds like being a doormat. Nope, I'm not a doormat, period. I'm my own woman. You know. And granted, I'm still my own woman for now. Until I'm married, period. Y'all better go up for me when I get married. But no, stop. But facts. Years ago, heck no to submission. It was a plain hard no. But I was hit with the hard question. How can you say you want a godly marriage and you don't even subscribe to biblical instructions pertaining to marriage? Like, it's giving plain two sides. It's giving confused. It really is giving confused. All right. Because Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 28, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, I know that this part is stepping on a few toes. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands. Now, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives. Now, a lot of times, I understand why a lot of women get upset because sometimes some churches will not talk about this part. Verse 25, which says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, I remember one preacher, he was talking about this, these verses. And one thing that he said, which I actually do agree with, he was like, when you think about it, husbands have a very weighty calling. Like, granted, women have a very weighty calling, which is submitting themselves to their husbands, which is hard. But husbands also submit themselves. They do. But a big part that they do, which is very, very hard, is they have to love us as Christ loved the church. That's hard. That's a big calling. That's a big duty to fulfill. Now, unfortunately, many husbands may not do that, which is wrong because they're not following scripture. And sometimes, unfortunately, many wives may not submit themselves to their husbands. But I share these verses because this is biblical instructions. These are biblical instructions. And like I said, and it's so funny because my mom said it the other day. She said it the other day. She was like, God is not a sour God. God is not a bad God. And one thing I'm going to add to that is God is not an impartial God. He won't call women to sacrifice so much and not call men to sacrifice also. There is something that men have to do as well, because God is not impartial, period. But let's also quickly get into love, because that's also a big part of marriage. And it also falls into the views that God has about marriage, right? So I don't know if this used to happen to y'all, but y'all should see this on TV too. Y'all remember like the old folks, they used to look at us funny, like when we would say, oh, we love someone, or even in the TV shows when like a middle schooler or a high schooler probably tells their mom or their grandma, they're like, oh, grandma or mom, I love this person. And the grandma would be like, oh, what do you know about love? You know, like they'll try and be like, oh, like, do you even know what love is? But even as adults, we should still ask ourselves, do we actually know what love means? And even more as a Christian, love is defined in the Bible, right? So let's examine it. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4-7, it says, love is patient. It says, love is kind. It says, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And I've been hit with the question multiple times by God, am I truly patient? I'm nice, but am I truly kind? Can I work to not be envious of my husband? Can I not be boastful? Can I not be proud or try to flex on my husband? Can I work to not dishonor him, but respect him? Can I not be self-centered and only thinking about what's going to benefit me, but more so our marriage? Can I not be easily angered or spiteful or petty? Can I not be unforgiving and not hold malice in my heart? Can I rejoice in being honest? Can I always work to protect my husband's image, to not defame him in front of other people? Can I always make sure to trust him? Can I always make sure to hope and motivate and persevere? And honestly, y'all, let's be real. My 21-year-old self right now cannot say yes fully, but I'm praying so that in the future, by God's supernatural grace, that I will be able to do that. You know, but it's truly through God's help. But this is how God sees marriage. This is what's important. These are things and these are principles that are important to God. These are things that need to be upheld in marriage. You know, and God has had to check me multiple times. Like, Tina, do you want marriage to glorify me and to make my kingdom come and to make my will be done? Because essentially, that's the purpose of marriage. You know, that's why a marriage was created. You know, obviously, it's to be fruitful, it's to multiply, it's to expand the kingdom of God. It's not for selfish ambition. And God has had to ask me that. You know, do I want to get married to save face? Do I want to get married to show that I could be chosen by a man? Or for you, maybe, do you want to get married so that you could show that a woman can love you? You know, do I want to get married just so that I can, you know, do Yoruba wedding things, do Bella Naija? For my Nigerian girls, you know Bella Naija, yo, do I want to get married so that I can just tagile and to do Ashoibi and like all these different things? Am I getting married for the right reasons? You know, am I seeing that my husband, or do I believe subconsciously even though it's scary to say it, but do I believe subconsciously that my husband can complete me? Am I ready to serve him day in, day out, sickness through, God forbid, he shall never be sick, I shall never be sick, but through sickness, through health, you know, through good days, through bad days, you know, through all these different things, am I ready to do that? And these are the realities. The Bible says that we must count the cost of everything. Jesus said that we must count the cost. And, you know, in the midst of idolizing, God hits me with these truths. Like, put the fairy tale aside. Put the cute pictures aside. Put the baby showers aside. Put the ring aside. My soon-to-be pretty diamond ring aside. Put those things aside and count the costs. Like, see it for what it really is. See, and there's even a book that I bought like 2 years ago, because God was telling me, like, girl, you say you want to be married, learn about marriage. And I remember my bishop over my church, he said this one thing. He was like, marriage is the one thing that we don't take time to learn about. I learned about psychology in college. I'm learning about social work so that I can be the best professional. You know, you go to all these different boot camps so that you can learn different principles, maybe about entrepreneurship, maybe about coding, maybe about these different things. We take these in-depth courses about these things, but we don't take these courses. We don't buy books to learn about marriage. And there's this one book that I bought 2 years ago when I heard that very deep truth. It says, or the book is called, I think it was called, Is Marriage Created to Make You More Holy Than Happy? I believe that's the name of it. But it's true. Marriage is meant to make us more holy than happy. It's made for a more divine purpose, not just cute pictures and stuff like that. But all of this stuff is not said so that you cannot desire it. It's not said to scare you out of it. So don't think that. Oh, don't be like, oh, don't say you don't want to get married now. Don't say that, because if God was the one who put the desire in your heart, he can surely fulfill it. And most likely you may be called to fulfill that, or not so that you can fulfill the desire, but you're called so that you can fulfill the mandate. So it's to say, don't let it scare you out of it. It's just to say, okay, you know these things, you know this knowledge, now prepare. Now prepare for the things you say that you want. You know, prepare for the things that you desire at this point in time, because these are the realities of it. The point three that I do want to add, this will be my last point for the day, is, are you okay with making room for another person and for another person's crazy schedule? And I'm going to give a quick example, okay? So this happened, I think, maybe 5 or 6 months ago. So me and my besties, we were like, we want to go out to eat, we want to fellowship, whatever, okay? And we had planned it out, like, I think maybe like a week or two in advance. So I was excited. And anyone who knows me, I'm a Google Calendar mommy. I'm a to-do list mommy. I love to-do lists. Google calendars, that's what, you know, keeps me sane. I'm very, very, very organized in that way. And in many ways, I've realized that it can be given control freak, basically. So God has been convicting me about that, about realizing that though I may plan, God also plans. Or should I say, God laughs, okay? So anyways, me and my friends, we planned this, I think, 1 to 2 weeks in advance, and I was super duper excited. It was going to be a day that I was coming back from work. So I planned it out. I was like, okay, you know what? This is X, Y, and Z. This is how I'm going to plan out the day. This is what I'm going to do. So I planned out the whole day. Right? Okay, I'm going to go to work at this time. I'm going to come back at this time. I'm going to go to the grocery store, and then I'm going to come home. I'm going to get ready really quickly, and then I'm going to go out. So then suddenly I got a text from my friend, I think maybe like 30 minutes before we were supposed to meet up at her house. And she was like, oh girl, I got caught up at work. Can we meet in like, instead of us meeting up at my house, can you just meet me at this specific place? And I got really upset, because I'm like, girl, I did not plan to like meet you at this specific place and have to go catch this bus. And I'm like, girl, that was not a part of the plan. I was supposed to come by you. We're supposed to catch an Uber. We're supposed to split it. Boo, 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 boo. And I'm wearing heels, girl. So I'm like, I'm not about to go catch no bus with no heels. So I was vexed. I'm like, girl, I was being very short through text. And for anybody who knows me, I'm super duper expressive. So through text, I was like, I can't do that. Like, I was basically being very, very short. And then, anyways, long story short, my friend was like, oh, I don't want to. She was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to inconvenience you. You know what? I'm just gonna let's go with the original plan. So boom, boom, I met up with her, I think like 45 minutes after at her house, and then we ended up getting in the Uber and we talked through it, right? And then she apologized. She was like, you know, I didn't mean to inconvenience you, blah, 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 blah. And then one thing that she said, but because my friend is super duper patient, she was like, you know, I felt super duper bad, but I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, girl, things happen. I got caught up at work. And when she said that, it made me realize how selfish I was being. And I have to be honest, I was being so selfish in that moment. I was only thinking about the fact that, oh, I planned out my day. I planned that I was going to do this. And you didn't tell me this in enough time. So because you didn't tell me this in enough time, I'm going to give you a hard time because why didn't you plan out your day the way that I did? And that was so selfish of me. And in that moment, I even had to apologize to her. I'm like, wow, sis, like, I didn't even see it in that way. Like, shoot, things really do happen. And I feel like in that moment, God taught me a lot about marriage also. Things happen. Some commitments may fall through, even in dating. Kaish, God is teaching me a lot. Oh, he's teaching me a lot. Even when you date, when you get married, all these different things, you are gonna see things differently than a person. You're because you're not living in that person's shoes entirely, you may not view things in the way that they do. But in everything, we have to give grace. We have to extend grace for people. We have to make allowances for people's faults, as the word says, you know? And I feel like with having quality friendships, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about the tenets of marriage. And I feel like sometimes the reason why God, you know, he lets certain things happen and he shows me through a lot of things through my friendships is so that I can improve, so that I can grow, and so that I can be a great wife. It's not to say I won't make mistakes. It's not to say I won't fall through with certain things. It's not to say I won't get upset about whatever, but it's to say that these are things and these are lessons that we're given so that we can grow and we can improve. It's not so that we can stay stagnant. Even right now, y'all already know I'm in social work school. And I remember somebody was telling me one of the most popular questions on the social work licensing exam, it's kind of to kind of give you guys a long story short about it, is it will give you a statement that a client has said in therapy, right? And it will ask you a bunch of, or it will give you a bunch of different question choices, right? And what I find is that for me, at least when I hear about questions like that and people tell me about it, the first thing that goes to my mind is, okay, when somebody tells me something, I should immediately take what a client says for face value. But in all reality, that's actually the wrong way to go about it. Even in social work, a key social work tenet is to always clarify the statement of a client. Always clarify the statement of a client. But me, when somebody tells me about those type of questions, I'm like, oh, immediately my first instinct is, okay, just take what the person is saying, maybe write them a report, maybe make a referral for them, just go from that. But as a social worker, even as a social worker, I should always clarify a statement. I should always seek to know more. I should always make allowances to know that, okay, maybe I may take what somebody says the wrong way. And even as a social worker, even in social work school, they're teaching us that. So even in my way as a Christian, I should even embody that also. Always clarify statements for my husband. Always clarify statements for my friends. Always try and make allowances for them. Always be patient. Always be kind. These are things that are also transferable, you know. But, anyways, I do want to end off with this quick Bible verse, which is from Colossians 2, verse 10, which says, you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Sister, brother, you are complete even now. You are complete. You're complete before marriage. You're complete in marriage through Christ. And you'll be complete, you know, in eternity because we will officially be with Christ. So it's to say, idolizing marriage is foolish because it's a way that the enemy tries to stop us and even delay the blessings that God has for us. Sometimes when we're so focused on idolizing marriage, we sometimes miss Jesus. And sometimes Jesus has to delay those blessings for us because he's like, if I give you this thing now, you'll turn that into a golden calf. You'll turn that into your God, so I can't even give it to you now. So it's to say, idolizing marriage, once again, it's foolish because we miss out because we're so focused on the gift instead of the gift giver. We're so focused on what we think is the prize, which is marriage, when we're not even focused on the real prize, which is Jesus, who blesses us with the marriage. And we also have to remember that in order to sustain the marriage, we still need Jesus. We need Jesus even more than we needed him before. I always say this to myself often, and I sometimes say it to my friends. I say, even me now, who's more serious with God, who's more serious in the things of God, who's more serious with prayer, worship, whatever, I'm like, I need Jesus now even more right now than I did before when I was like lackadaisical in the spirit. I need him more now to be able to sustain this level that I'm at and to even go higher and to even increase. I need him more. So just to say, I'm going to end off with this. Jesus is king, okay? He completes us. But also to say to my brothers, to my sisters, desiring marriage is not wrong. You're not wrong for desiring marriage. You're not wrong for possibly, or should I say this, having desires, like even sexual desires, it's not wrong because it's showing your body is working. But what's wrong is when we ruminate on them and when we stay in them and when we start having these fantasies and start getting into that, that is what's wrong. What we do with the desires that God has given us can either be right or wrong. If we choose to lean on God and ask God, like, Lord, help me to manage these desires, then we are in right standing. I mean, we're already in right standing, but it's good for us to do it like that or to approach these desires like that. So it's just to say, don't condemn yourself for desiring marriage. Don't condemn yourself for desiring companionship, whether platonic or romantic. Do not condemn yourself, but use your singleness for purpose, even in marriage. Let your marriage carry out a purpose, but don't forget the individual calling that God has given you. You know, I attend KFT, as I stated before, and we have Prophetess Leslie Osei, who is a prophetess and who is a leader within KFT. But we also have Bishop Dominic Osei, which is her husband. Now, they are one. And it's beautiful that they are one, but it doesn't stop Prophetess Leslie Osei from carrying out her calling that God has specifically called her to do. She's still teaching and preaching. She didn't stop just because she got married, or she didn't stop just because she had the desire for it. She still tries to push. So it's to say, when we do get these things that we desire, still keep pushing. Still keep pushing. Or as Nemo would say, just keep swimming, like literally. And that's so, it's so cliche, I know. We're so cringy, but I really do hope and pray that this episode blessed you. If it did, send it to a friend. Be a blessing, okay? Don't be selfish with the things of God. Also, post it on your socials, yes, if it's been blessing you. And also definitely leave a review if it's been blessing you. And I also just want to say once again, God bless you and thank you for tuning into this podcast, period. Wait, don't go just yet. I wanted to give you all a chance to give your life to Christ or to rededicate it if you have not already. So some of us have grown up in the church or around the church, but we have not verbally confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So I want to give you all the chance right now. Or some of us have been in Christ, but we have been falling a little bit, or we have become a tad bit lukewarm. So say this with me out loud. Lord God, please forgive me for my sins. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that you love me. I believe in my heart that you are who you say that you are. You are the Son of God, and I confess with my mouth that I am a sinner. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Please cleanse me from my sin and create a new and clean heart in me. I do believe that you are my Savior, and I now want to live for you as my Lord and my God. I know that I have eternal life in you because of the work you did on Calvary's cross for me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's it. You on the side of the Lord. God bless you. A party is happening right now in heaven over your soul. Continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. Pray earnestly. Seek him, and also continue tuning into this podcast. If it has blessed you, tell a friend to tell a friend. And most importantly, leave a review. Selah.